This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hard to believe we are already in hour two at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, getting you ready for Super Bowl 56 as the Rams will battle the Bengals in Los Angeles. Right now, we're going to turn our attention to the big announcement made earlier this week, and that, of course, Tom Brady is checking it in. What was your reaction, John Bellmer, my producer, when you heard the news? Were you emotional a little bit?
I don't know if emotional is the right word. Maybe a slightly happy, but also very sad because you see greatness like that. You don't want to see it go from the game.
Okay, so is Tom Brady like the most accomplished athlete of all time? We think of Tiger, we think of Michael Jordan. And speaking of retirements, I mean, like when Michael Jordan retired, I cried. I cried like a baby.
Yeah, it's definitely emotional because the sport is losing something, you know?
Yes.
And I think Tom Brady is up there.
So did he pick the right time to retire? Because I thought that was really interesting when I was talking to Coach Vermeil in Hour 1 and how he kind of thought that he should, not kind of, but he said that he was disappointed that he didn't continue to play.
I'm a little disappointed, too, that he didn't continue to play, though. I think you're right with your question you asked him, too. If he was single, would he have kept playing? I think he would have,
yeah.
Right? But family is important. And at some point, like he said he had 2 years. When he left New England, he signed a 2-year contract with Tampa Bay. He said 2 years. 2 years is up. He's won a Super Bowl. He had a lot of success this last season as well. I think it was just he wanted to go out on top. You know, he's seen what happened to Manning. Manning won a Super Bowl his last year, but he had nothing left. Ben Roethlisberger, nothing left. I think he wants to go out with, you know, leading the league in passing, knowing that he can still do it. Maybe he sits out a year and maybe we see him again. I don't know. But there's a lot of different things. I feel like he knew it was that time.
Good stuff. The conversation is going to continue. Super Bowl 56. The countdown is on. The Big E Sports Show. Come on back to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. We are always ready to tee it up as the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am is underway. But right now, we're going to focus our attention on the PGA Merchandise Show that took place last week in Orlando, Florida. We are so delighted to have back with us from the Golf Channel and NBC. That is Matt Adams. He is host of Fairways of Life Radio, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, and it is available on every major audio platform. Check them out, fairwaysoflife.com. Good morning, Matt. It's great to have you on the program.
Hi, Liz. Nice to be back with you.
Let's talk about it. The 2022 PGA Merchandise Show is in the books, and we are ready for a recap of what all took place in the return to in-person event at the Major of Golf Business. So I just have to wonder what that was like for you, some of the emotions from just an incredible week at the Orange County Convention Center.
Yeah, it was an incredible week, I think. For me, it was my 32nd PGA show, and this one was different in every way, but I think it was more important than any other. The fact that we were able to get together as an industry, you know, golf is an $85 billion a year economic engine.
Wow.
It employs over 2 million Americans, and it's important, I think, that we get together at least once a year. Now, that's not saying that the executives of golf can't get together. They do under the shade of trees at majors, et cetera. But this is the entire industry getting together. When I was on the green grass side of the game, we would have people from assistant professionals on up that would all attend the show, and they'd get a chance to meet the Scotty Camerons of the world, or the, you know, Bob Volkes that are actually designing the product that are going into the golf shop. So it was much smaller than it normally is. There were all types of provisions made for COVID. Yet, hopefully, coming out the end of international pandemic, we were able to get together, back together again, as we weren't able to last year, except for a virtual form. And I think that was so important because the game of golf right now is booming. We are at record levels of rounds played and overall business. And if there was a time that it was important for us to get together, not only to see product, but to get together and share, like I said, best practices and what's going well and what maybe are the challenges are in the industry, there is no more important time than right now. So I'm delighted we were able to do it.
You know, Matt, you're exactly right. The golf industry is booming, and $85 billion with a B, dollar business. Obviously, this show is very important to the industry, and to be able to connect with your colleagues and with your peers. Who were some of the key vendors in the golf industry that were unable to make it?
All the big guys were unable to make it because they have to balance. If you're going to, for example, whoever it is, pick a name, Callaway, TaylorMade, Titleist. If you're going to bring in and have a presence that consummate with what you've had in the past, you're bringing in the majority of your representatives from across the country. So whoever your regional sales reps are, et cetera, the risk of bringing them into, and this, the COVID still looms large, the
right.
risk of bringing them into any scenario where they're all in one place at one time, you could effectively, if there was an outbreak, wipe out your entire sales crew for the entire country. So I understood why they weren't there. Demo day, the first day, was, believe it or not, even though we're in Florida and it's in the 80s today, it was very, very cold the day that, and there was even a slight mist in the air. So that was very light as well.
Yeah.
So it was almost as though the weather itself, at least on that day, conspired against the general mentality, which was be cautious, err on the side of caution, go smaller, go lighter, and make sure that we're minimizing exposure. And that's what it was. Although the people that were there, the vendors that I had a chance to speak with a lot of them, they said it was amazing because where in the normal year we might have, what, some 40,000 people there that are just doing whatever they're doing at the PGA show, whatever their particular individual objectives are. At this one, we probably were around 15,000 by my estimate, but those 15,000 were there with intent. So I had multiple people that were displaying their wares there tell me that these were not tire kickers. They were not window shoppers. They were there to do business, and business as a result was brisk, and there were no queues, both because they weren't distracted by the big manufacturers who weren't able to be present at this one, and also because people had particular needs and they found vendors that could satisfy it.
He is one of the best in the business, Golf Channel, NBC. Check him out, Matt Adams. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Matt Adams, F-O-L. You know, Matt, hope is a beautiful thing. So let's talk about some of the hot ticket items. And it's all about distance these days. So what say you? What are some of those drivers that we need to keep our eye on?
Well, I mean, it's amazing what's going on in the industry right now because there is something new from TaylorMade that, although it's been tried in the past, and I'm talking about their what they call a carbon wood, it's been tried in the past. There has been carbon-faced woods before with a variety of different materials that surround that carbon face, be it a carbon body or what have you. But this is the first time that it's been done with this level of sophistication and technology that surrounds it. The carbon wood has 60 layers of carbon. And then on top of that carbon wood, it almost looks like the table in your grandmother's sitting room where it has a polyurethane atop it. Now, on top of that, they have full-face grooves across it. So the benefit is that if you are in dry conditions, you really don't need those grooves. Okay, they're not going to negatively impact you. But if you're in wet conditions, grooves on the face of a club, whether it's a driver or an iron, work just like gutters on your house. So it carries water away,
wow.
So you'll get less adverse spin. So that really impressed me in the industry this year. The new Rogue ST driver from Callaway, again, packed with technology. I would say that the Rogue ST is not a radical new technology. It's an evolution of the technology that they already had, whether we're talking about the jailbreak technology, but in particular, where you're talking about thinning out faces and where they're putting the weight on these drivers so that they maximize what's called MOI. And MOI stands for moment of inertia. And what that basically means is that when you hit something, anything with a ball, there's going to be an oscillation. It wobbles. And the more you can move the weight to the perimeter of that club, the more you balance the club so that it doesn't wobble as much. And if it's not going to oscillate as much, you're going to keep the ball more online, even if you hit it off the center of the face. And I guarantee you, everyone hits it off the center of the face, even the best players in the world. So those are just two that I saw that from a driver category, which is pretty much the primary category people are interested in. That really impressed me.
Matt, tell us your thoughts on iron technology and just how far it has progressed throughout the years.
What's interesting about iron technology, Alyssa, is that there was a period, I would say it was at least 10 years, and the argument could be made it was 15 or more, where when I saw new iron technology, it essentially was the same perimeter-weighted technology that I'd seen every other year before. Still really good iron. Still real technology, but not necessarily new technology. What they've done over the last few years is new technology. And I'll give you an example of what I mean.
Okay.
They're taking forged. So you've got a forged material, and a forged club is made the same way as a sword. It's a piece of metal that is slammed into being. It's slammed into form so they can make it with a perimeter cavity, a perimeter weighting, so that you have that maximum forgiveness. What a lot of them are doing then is they go in and they use custom milling where, for example, they dig out on the inside, that cavity back, not on the face side, and the cavity back side, they dig out underneath that perimeter weighting so that they get as much of a flexed face as possible. The face is as fast as possible, and oftentimes the face is a separate piece, a piece that is brazed onto, brazing welding onto the frame. And then on the back, they'll put, they call them medallions, but what they really are is shock absorbers so that as you make contact, again, it's all about stability, about MOI in this case, when you're talking about shock absorbing, and it's about feel, you get really super good feel. Absolute perimeter weighting, and then you get that buttery feel that goes with the softer forged metal. So I'm seeing real advancement in iron technology now, too.
Wrapping up our time, Golf Channel, NBC, Matt Adams has been our very special guest this morning, Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Matt Adams, F-O-L. And as my final question for you is, you know, during this pandemic, I mean, why do you think so many embraced the game of golf?
The obvious reasons, I think, are that it was a healthy endeavor. It was something you could do outside. It got you out with, ultimately, friends and family and being able to engage in a passion where you didn't have to worry whether somebody was literally breathing down your neck and
right.
It would get you sick. The industry reacted early on when we didn't know any better with the fact that, hey, we're going to put a little foam cone in the bottom of the cup so you don't have to touch the flag. You don't have to rake the bunker, which means people were either taking it out of the bunker or they're taking a preferred lie. Heck, they do that anyway. So all said and done, the game of golf proved itself as being something that was a very good endeavor during a pandemic. Now, add to that, once people started to do it to say, I'm just looking to pass the time and have something to do, they got out there either for the first time or again after a long time and said, hey, this game is awesome. So the game of golf has exploded, and it continues to be on the rise since that time. We just had our rounds report for the end of 21, and rounds went up again by 4 to 5%.
Wow.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking about hundreds of millions of rounds, it is.
Host of Fairways of Life Radio, available on every major audio platform. Check him out, fairwaysoflife.com. And that is the great Matt Adams. Also, check him out on the Golf Channel, NBC, and give him a follow on Twitter, at Matt Adams, F-O-L. Congratulations. Continued success, Matt. We look forward to another conversation.
Thank you, Liz. Always a pleasure.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. As always, connect with us on Twitter, at eRadio Sports, podcastarena.com. You can go back and listen to each and every one of our interviews. How about that exclusive interview with legendary and Super Bowl winning coach Dick Vermeil? But right now, we're going to focus our attention on some big time NFL news and notes making the headlines this past week. How about Tom Brady? He made it official, announced his retirement on social media. And our next guest is Sean Glennon, sports writer, author of Tom Brady versus the NFL, the case for football's greatest quarterback. So, Sean, good morning. And what was your reaction when you heard the news?
Good morning, Alyssa. Look, I was sad. I'm not sure what else to say about it. It's not like it was a surprise. I mean, I guess it was because he's talked about Brady talked about playing to 45, and he just had this amazing season. And so, you know, you came out of the season thinking, well, he's got one more to go, and knowing him, he might push it past that. And then suddenly, between Sunday and the middle of last week, that all sort of went away. And it was expected but unexpected. So I feel grateful for having got to watch this career from from his first start, actually from the first time he came in to replace Drew Bledsoe right through the end. But I wasn't ready for it to end.
Well, 22 seasons. He announced the move via Instagram on Tuesday morning. Why do you think, though, Sean, he felt like this was the right time to retire?
It's kind of hard to question any sort of decision this guy makes about his career right now, because he's never been wrong yet. You know, so we look at it from the outside and say, well, you know, here's a guy who, at 44 years old, led the league in completions, led the league in touchdowns, had a nice run in the playoffs. Obviously, it didn't go as well as last year. So, why walk away now? But, it's tempting to think, he's getting some pressure from Giselle, or, he sees his kids getting older and doesn't want to miss any more of their childhood. And I'm sure all of that stuff, there's some truth to all of it. And we also don't know what's going on inside the Buccaneers organization. He might have looked around and said, that we're going in the wrong direction. I don't want to go to another team, and I don't want to fall off that cliff everybody's been waiting for me to fall off of. I'm going to go out on top. I sort of hope that's what it is, because the thing about great quarterbacks is they never make that decision. They always go out broken down and beat up and sad, and this guy just rides off into the sunset and leaves us wanting more. It's great showbiz.
Sean Glennon, sports writer, author of Tom Brady versus the NFL, the case for football's greatest quarterback. It is a fascinating read. Go out and get a copy. What was the key to his sustained success? Because it was more than nutrition, right? And eating avocado ice cream.
One would think, I know he wants to attribute a lot of it to the avocado ice cream and the not eating tomatoes. That's always been the weirdest one to me, is the not eating tomatoes, but whatever, it works. It clearly has everything to do with it. It's the same thing that propelled him to and through his college career, and then that got him from pick number 199, an afterthought at the end of the sixth round, to starting playing 10 Super Bowls and winning 7 of them. Like, it just is this intensity that desire to, I don't know what it is. He always seemed to need somebody to prove wrong. And so every time, it seemed like every time somebody would say, Brady's not as good as Peyton Manning, not as good as Aaron Rodgers, whoever it would be, that somehow fueled him. Like, he just could not, he couldn't not want to show you that you had underestimated him.
Sean Glennon, author, Tom Brady versus the NFL. In fact, it is being re-released for the third time, and this is the final edition of the book. So it's coming out, Sean, it's coming out in the fall. And also, what will our listeners, it's a big fat book. I don't know how many pages are in it, but, what are they going to find when they open it up?
Well, they're gonna find a big fat book. It was I just got off the phone actually with the publisher, Triumph Books, and it was 336.
Yeah, I knew it was over 300.
Pages, Yeah, the second edition, and that was six seasons ago. So we got a lot of stuff to cover. Now there's some stuff that we can pull back out of there. You know, at the time, it seemed like it made sense to this book compares him to, you know, the greats of the game, and at the time it made sense to also compare him to some contemporaries. You know, Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, folks like that. That doesn't seem like it's very necessary right now, so we can save the readers the time of reading about why he's better than Eli Manning, because they don't need that from me. But we're going to take a look at his career from his first start to his last start, and so you know, maybe 400 pages of me marveling at the greatness of Tom Brady. So that'll be fun for everybody.
So will we ever see another quarterback come close to what Tom Brady has accomplished?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, the easy answer is no, because no one's ever come close to this before. And you know, there are times, right? We still haven't seen another Jordan. And some of us might say we've never seen another Bill Russell, right?
Good point.
You know, but then what happens is just when you get to believing that it can, you know, nothing like this can ever happen again, it does. Maybe we won't see it. Somebody will see it somewhere, sometime. It's going to be a long time. I mean, think about, you know, I mean, 10 Super Bowls, you know, a 22-year career, really 20 years as a starter, where a guy goes to 10 Super Bowls and wins seven of them. Like, nobody's on their way to that right now. And it takes 20 years to do it, so it's going to be a while.
Sean Glennon, author of Tom Brady versus the NFL, joining us this morning in Hour 2 at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Super excited about his re-release. It'll be coming out in the fall, the third, the final edition of the book. Let's move ahead, and actually let's talk about the Patriots. So last time you were on the show, the Patriots had just released their quarterback in Cam Newton. Mac Jones had solidified his starting position. What does the future hold for Mac Jones?
You know, what we saw here in New England this year was a kid who played really, really well as a rookie starter. Now, sophomore slumps happen. There have been plenty of quarterbacks who had a good, strong rookie showing and never did anything else. You know, Mac does have the benefit of Bill Belichick's coaching. He's losing his offensive coordinator, of course, and there's some big changes happening
right, with
the Patriots. So. We don't know, but all signs point to something good in the future.
Is Mac Jones the kind of guy that can galvanize the locker room and this ultimately be the franchise-winning quarterback?
You know, what you hear coming out of the players, and you know as well as I do, the Patriots are sort of a famously closed team. You don't get a lot of stuff, but what you do hear players talking about is Mac's leadership ability. And I don't think, you know, that's hard to exercise as a rookie. Tom certainly did it in his first year as a starter, but he'd been around for a while, and he's just an incomparably confident guy. If Mac has, Mac seems to have that kind of confidence, seems to have the ears of the players. You know, we'll know for sure in 2 or 3 years, but he's so far has established what he needs to establish as a rookie.
Author Tom Brady versus the NFL, the re-release, third and final edition, is going to be coming out this fall. Sean has joined our show many times. Congratulations. I know we're looking forward to Super Bowl 56. It's down to two teams between the Bengals and the Rams. Who you got?
You know, I really want to pick the Bengals. I think it's high time they won the Super Bowl.
Over 30 years.
When I look at the matchups, it's tough. I was really hoping for San Francisco to win the NFC, not because not that against L.A., and I'm glad they're in it, but I really wanted to see that Super Bowl 16-23 matchup repeated. I think that would have been I suspect that the Bengals could have won that game. I'm not sure that they can beat the Rams.
The Bengals' first Super Bowl appearance since 1988 when they lost to the 49ers 20-16. Always a true pleasure to catch up with our guest, and that is Sean Glennon. Mark it down, Amazon.com, anywhere, Barnes & Noble, author of Tom Brady versus the NFL. Congratulations, my friend, and we look forward to another conversation here real soon, okay?
Hey, Alyssa, thanks so much. It's been great to be with you today.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way in Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back on this Saturday morning. We are always ready to tee it up with some PGA news and notes, and super excited. The 2022 AT&T Pebble Beach program, it is underway. Thrilled to have back with us, that is former PGA pro. He made it to the top, and that is Larry Miller. Good morning, Larry.
Well, good morning. I'm trying to get spring to come here just as quickly as I can. Tired of this cold, wet weather. But you know what? Pebble Beach is on the calendar now this week, and that, to me, that sort of signals the beginning, the real beginning of the golf season. So it's going to be a fun week.
Well, Pebble Beach, it truly is the ultimate golf destination, and I know personally it's one of your favorite golf courses. So why don't you share with our audience, you know, what's it like to play Pebble Beach? I mean, there are so many stunning views.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's start out by saying that Pebble Beach, you know, there's a lot of glamour attached to Pebble Beach because of where it is and the name, kind of a cool name, Pebble Beach. You know, it resonates with all the golfers, and they just, you know, all the ones that haven't played there, that's on their bucket list to play it. But I want to tell you something about Pebble. Pebble has 10 holes on the course that could be anywhere. Number 1, 2, 3, and 4, and number about 11 through 15 or 16, those holes could be anywhere on Earth.
Okay.
But the other holes, 6 through 10, and then 16, 17, 18, are just off the charts spectacular. And I think, you know, when you compare that to Cypress Point, now let me tell you the difference. And I think it's because Pebble Beach is more accessible to the general public, you know, being a public course. Anybody can play there if you want to pony up the money. But Cypress Point's another animal altogether. It's very private, one of the hardest courses to get on in the country. But here's the thing about the difference. Cypress Point has 18 signature holes. It's got 18 spectacular holes, where Pebble has 8. And so, but as I said, because of the glamour attached to Pebble Beach and the history, you know, of the tournaments, although Cypress used to be in the rotation. But anyway, that's kind of the difference. And Pebble Beach really starts, you know, it starts off very benign. It has a very short par 4, and then it's got a par 5 that everybody can hit irons to. In fact, I think in the tournament sometimes they play that as a par 4, but anyway, you're going to get off to a hot start. Number 3 is another short par 4. So, really the first 3 or 4 holes, you should be under par every time, you know, for these good players. And then it starts building after that.
Former PGA pro author, check him out, Larry Miller, golf.com, who joins us each and every week at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. We've talked about it many times. My oldest son, Steven, he made his college debut for the University of Oklahoma in September at Pebble Beach. And, you know, I had a chance during the holidays, Larry, to kind of visit with him, catch up, and kind of get his takeaways from the fall season. And he shared about Pebble Beach and that he absolutely loved hole 6. I mean, it's that par 5. 523 yards, and it is truly one of the best views in all of golf, and it takes you to the edge of the ocean.
Well, that's where Pebble Beach starts. In fact, I wrote this in one of my books. It was in Beyond Golf, my second book. I talked about how Pebble Beach begins on the 6th hole, because you walk off of the 5th green, which is a par 3, and you go to your right, and all of a sudden you get on this tee box, and this panorama opens up.
Yep.
Of the Pacific Ocean, everywhere you look, it's a spectacular tee shot. It goes down the hill, and on the right, the waves are just crashing above the shoreline to the right of you. You know, it's just absolutely stunning. And then the second shot goes straight uphill to this par 5. And, of course, nowadays these guys, you know, they're all hitting 300-plus yard drives, and so they can hit that second shot up over that straight uphill. It's very lengthy, too. It's about a, 120-yard straight uphill slope. But they can hit it, you know, an iron, a lot of times hit an iron second shot onto that green. But back when I played, and for the ordinary golfer today, you know, the average player, it's pretty daunting because you drive it down this hill, and then you have to go up this steep hill, and, yeah. and a lot of people just can't get it up to the top of that hill. So what it does, it creates a totally blind third shot that you have to try to get some sort of reference in the sky or a cloud or something and aim at that because you can't see anything. So, and then behind the green, now then you're looking at the seventh, that short par three, and I've described that seventh hole. It's like 100, 105, 110 yards long. Mm-hmm. It's a sand wedge shot for everybody. And it goes down to the green and right up against the ocean. And I describe it as sort of like you're playing golf on a raft in the middle of the ocean because that's what it feels like because you're up there isolated on the green. But anyway, Pebble Beach does start on that sixth hole, just an unbelievable, beautiful par five. And then it just continues with that seventh hole and the eighth with that cliff, 300-foot drop down on your second shot that you have to go over this big chasm. And then down to the green. Oh, and then 9 and 10 are just as spectacular along the ocean. So then you get to 17, which is a great par 3.
Par 3,
where Nicklaus
yep.
hit that famous 2-iron that hit the flagstick uh-huh. and stopped inches away. And then 18, of course, is one of the most iconic holes in golf with the ocean to your left all the way down to the green. So spectacular golf course. For these players today, it's no longer a really hard golf course compared to some of the others they play, but it's still beautiful, and everybody loves to play there because it's so spectacular.
Okay, so you recount all the amazing holes at Pebble Beach. Which one is your favorite, Larry?
You know, Jack Nicklaus said number 8 was his favorite. He said it's the greatest par 4 in the world.
Yeah.
But my favorite hole is that seventh hole, is that little par 3.
Yep.
Because, and the other thing about that seventh hole, all around the green, the green literally sits right up against the ocean behind it. And you have all this, what they call ice plant, that's all along the shoreline. And if you hit the wrong club there and you get a half club too much, and you get just over the green, between the green and the ocean, you're in this ice plant. And, you need like a pickaxe to get the ball out of that stuff. And it's 100, it's a sand wedge shot. Or if the wind is in your face off of the ocean, I have seen that hole play, get this, 110 yards, 4-iron. but it's a sand wedge normally with no wind. But if the wind's in your face, it becomes diabolical because you're trying to hit a mid to long iron to this tiny green with water everywhere and sand and ice plant and all of a sudden, that little hole becomes a monster.
Former PGA pro Larry Miller joins us each and every week, provides all kind of golf wisdom at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. You mentioned and highlight one of your favorite holes, but so what is the secret sauce? I mean, how do you play this majestic course?
It's a precision golf course. You got to hit it in the fairway. For the tournament, of course, the rough's grown up a little bit higher and pinched in a little. The fairway's a little narrower. So precision is the name of the game at Pebble Beach. It's not distance. It's not a long course for these guys. It's not even that long for the average player, from the middle tee. But precision is the key. You got to get it in the fairway, and then club selection is really important because the greens are not that big. Got a lot of very small greens at Pebble Beach, and you get the wrong club in your hand, now you've got a difficult chip shot or pitch shot. So club selection is paramount, distance control, and accuracy off the tee. Those are the keys to Pebble.
Yeah, and, I had the opportunity to be there at Pebble Beach and walk the course, and one thing I noticed is you've got to keep the ball under the hole, and everything seems to go to the ocean.
Yeah, because the greens can get very quick.
Yep.
There's a lot of wind usually that dries out the greens a bit, and so the greens get faster. And that poana grass, as I said before, that poana grass can be a little bit irregular. And so when you get on lightning fast greens with greens that are slightly bumpy, anything can happen. You see more missed 2 and 3 footers at Pebble than you do anywhere else.
The 2022 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, it is underway. Patrick Cantlay is the clear favorite, or at least he's my favorite. What I find a bit surprising that a majority of the top 10 players in the world, they're actually, Larry, they're playing overseas this week at the Saudi International and have elected to not compete this weekend. So what can we learn from that? What do you think that's all about?
Well, I hope that's not a sign of things to come,
right,
personally.
Should we be worried?
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to see that. But you know, on the other hand, these guys, most of them have played Pebble, you know, many, many years in a row. And who knows there? Of course, it's money, you know, all the money they're offering over there. But it might just be, you know, the challenge and desire to try something different. But Cantlay, let's talk about Cantlay a little bit more. That guy has really, he personifies the perfect temperament for golf.
Yes.
And the great best attitude on the golf course. And that's something he's cultivated, and I think it's the reason that he has become so much more of an elite player out there. Nothing bothers him, and you know he goes about his business. You can't tell if he's four over or four under looking at him. His body language stays the same. He's calm under pressure, and he's one of these guys that seems to play better under pressure. And that's one of the features of elite players is that they. It's almost like they're challenged by the pressure and they embrace it. And in fact, I texted with Steven last night and, I told him that I said, look, I said, you know, cause he told me he was feeling a little pressure in some of these qualifiers up at Oklahoma. And I said, look, you have to embrace the pressure, Steven. You have to take it upon as a challenge and you have to say, you know what? I love this pressure because what it does is makes me focus even more. And if you take that attitude, those positive attitudes with you about pressure, it doesn't bother you as much.
Yeah.
And if you stress over it, then it gets to you. So you have to embrace it like the great players do. And I think Cantlay, as I said, personifies that. He really embraces the pressure and seems to play better as the pressure ratchets up.
Well, you'll love this NBA great Dirk Nowitzki. He says, I make love to pressure. So he certainly does embrace
it. I love it. Yeah, and listen, that's what the great players do. They're almost like they're showing off, you know, when there's pressure on. So that's what makes them so good.
Yeah, Patrick Cantlay, you know, he wants to get a win at home. I mean, he's a Californian boy, so and he obviously is off to a great start in 2022. He is world number four. And you know what's interesting? I was just thinking about, Larry, over the past couple of weeks, we've kind of talked about how John Rahm, is he underappreciated? Is he undervalued as a player? You know, all that he's accomplished. But what about Patrick Cantlay? I mean, he's a guy, you know, he's not got that big personality. I mean, he really does kind of fly under the radar and perhaps is overlooked.
Yeah, he does. And just like Rahm, it's a personality thing. You know, the public seems to love the flamboyant types, you know, and the boisterous. You get a Mickelson. That's why they love Mickelson so much. You never know what he's going to say and do. And he's so enthusiastic and demonstrative about everything that public eats that up. But a guy like Cantlay or Rahm, you know, who just kind of flatliners, kind of like DJ, too, They don't capture the fancy of the public as much as some of these more flamboyant guys do.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with former PGA pro Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
You bet. We are Inside the Ropes with Larry Miller, former PGA pro. The conversation continues. Hey, let's reflect last week on the big win at the Farmers Insurance Open, a field that featured six of the top 10 players in the world. And how about Luke List taking care of business and getting things done? And my heart kind of goes out to Will Zalatoris because he was right there.
It was advantage Zalatoris after those tee shots at the playoff because he had the good lie in the bunker and List had a horrible lie, sort of a half buried lie. And, I looked at that lie, and I'll tell you, I still can't figure out how he advanced the ball that far from that lie because the ball was sitting down in the middle of this depression, and how he got the blade on that iron enough to advance it that far is a mystery to me. He had to catch that just exactly right, just perfect. And he's a strong guy with a lot of club head speed, so if he got that club on the ball with that much speed, that would explain how he did it. But it did look like advantage Zalatoris, and you had to feel for him because it looked like he had it. And, you know, a lot of people just fell by the wayside coming down the stretch. Justin Rose did. I mean, one after the other, and it left two standing. And then, of course, List won it. He won it with that wedge shot. He hit just a spectacular wedge within tap-in distance of the hole, and then Zalatoris couldn't match it from what he had, about 12 feet. But anyway... But you got to give it to List. He won it with that wedge, and he won it with that daring shot out of the bunker, because he could have done anything with that shot. He didn't catch it just right. And so, but anyway, you had two guys looking for their first win, and List got it, and I'm sure Zalatoris is going to come.
Luke List certainly executed very well in the playoff, and this was his first PGA title after 206 attempts. I mean, he is hardly a rookie. He's 37 years old. He's been a full-time member on the PGA Tour for 7 years, and it was just so beautiful at the end to see his wonderful family come out and congratulate him. That was really special. That always brings tears to my eyes. That's the highlight right there. It's all about family.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And that, and you know what? That's another example of a feature of a great player.
Yes.
Is perseverance. And he persevered for so long. And now that he's broken through and gotten the lid off, probably going to win some more. Because once you win, you know you can, and then you're more relaxed next time you're in that situation. So anyway, both of those guys, you know, both of those guys are going to be stars here in the near future for sure.
Mm-hmm. We always love talking some PGA news and notes. Enjoy the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am this weekend. Stay warm, Larry, and we look forward to a conversation next week. Thank you.
Yep, look forward to it. Spring is on the horizon, too.
Absolutely. That, of course, was Larry Miller, who joins us each and every week at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Remember, you can take us anywhere, anytime. Download our app, Sports Map Radio, and go back and listen to all of our exclusive interviews at podcastarena.com. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody. Don't drink and drive.